Talk on KTNF, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, March 25th, 2018. I'm Maddie Love, and I'm really happy to be joined in studio today by Hertzy Hertz and Stephanie Savan. Minnesota Atheist is a co-sponsor of the upcoming Secular Women Work Conference. So this morning, we're going to ask Stephanie to switch hats, and instead of hosting Atheist Talk, Hertzy and I are going to relentlessly grill Stephanie about the Secular Women Work Conference that's taking place here in Minnesota the weekend of August 24th. This is an open conversation. We welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or send us a message over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. Hertzy and Stephanie, thank you for taking the time on this busy Tolkien Day, the day we celebrate the fall of Sauron and the destruction of Barad-dûr, to join me in studio.
Good morning, Maddie.
This just makes me playing D&D today that much better. Unfortunately, I'm doing a really heavy undead campaign, so.
Oh, so the Eye of Sauron will be watching you as it falls. All right, so first, obvious question, got to ask out of the gate. The conference you're organizing, Stephanie, the Secular Women Work, is this the kind of conference that would be acceptable for me to cosplay as Wonder Woman or Batgirl?
I think casual cosplay would be appropriate. So, if you had your Wonder Woman shirt with the t-shirt with the outfit printed on there, yes. But it is not a science fiction or fantasy conference straight out.
Okay, so now if I have a dress that's just similar, it's designed to look like it, but it's
absolutely
a full dress.
You could probably even, wear your Grecian sandals with it. It'd be all good.
You know I'm probably going to do this now.
Awesome.
So what kind of conference is it really? So if it's not science fiction and it's not cosplay, why as an atheist do I want to go to this conference?
Our tagline for the conference is a conference by and for activists. So really what we are doing is teaching practical skills for activism to make your activism better. We try to concentrate on generalizable skills. So even though it is a technically secular movement conference, not all of our speakers are necessarily from the secular movement. Last time we had Representative Phyllis Kahn on, and she is still religiously Jewish. We actually also had my mother as a speaker, who is technically a nun, but not a non-believer. Nun, N-O-N-E.
I was gonna ask.
It's a really interesting family. Yeah,
the secular nuns, it's very much like secular Judaism. But yeah, it's a really bad habit.
But in her capacity as a longtime politician as well. If you come in, you should be picking up skills that are useful to you, whatever your particular focus is. It's just that we focus really hard on basically women's work within the secular movement.
You say women's work, and you talked about this at the last public meeting, which fantastic talk that you gave.
But thank you.
You talked about women's work, and you kind of explained what it was then. Can you kind of, to be honest, it was one of the, I've heard the term before, but I hadn't really heard someone define it as well as you did.
Okay. So when we talk about work and we talk about compensation, particularly in the U.S., I haven't looked at data for other countries, we see that women do the bulk of unpaid work in the U.S. Now, a lot of that is household and child-rearing duties, but if you look at volunteer work, women do slightly more of the work there as well. And unfortunately, living in a highly capitalistic society, we don't tend to put value on any work that isn't paid. And so all of that work kind of gets lumped together and dismissed as unimportant and treated as what we call women's work. And honestly, as a movement, we're not rich. We cannot function just on paid labor. it's just not going to happen. We need volunteers. And if we want to keep them around, we need to appreciate them. So basically, Secular Women Work is here to highlight that expertise and share it around and share the load and make everybody a little bit better at what we do.
Yeah, I think every group that I'm involved in that I feel like is doing work that I care about is at least half volunteer, if not more.
At
usually,
least.
Usually 100% with like one or two people. So.
Right. Yeah. Minnesota Atheists, none of what we do gets paid.
No. Nope.
Wait.
No, you're not getting a check for today's show.
I was expecting a big fat radio check one day.
Yeah. No offense. I get paid first.
Well, yeah, but you're on the board.
I've been doing this longer than either of you.
True.
But no, I still don't see any money.
I just know my voice is on the airways. That's enough for me right now.
You're compensated in exposure, which you can die from.
That's awesome.
So the conference has been around. I mean, this isn't the first time you guys have been around.
Right. The first one was in 2015.
So what's
it was awesome.
I don't know what I was doing. I don't remember what I was doing 2 weeks ago. I don't remember what I was doing in 2015 without looking it up. What's the history of Secular Women Work? I realize that's an expansive question.
Right.
But can you trace the roots of like where Secular Women Work came from?
Yes, absolutely. Basically, we have been having an ongoing discussion about sexism from women being ignored all the way up to sexual harassment and assault in this movement since at least 2009. I'm sure it is not the first time the secular movement has had this ongoing, roiling discussion. It's just the first time I and much of my generation has been around for it. Back in 2014, BuzzFeed put out an article about Michael Shermer and the accusation of rape against him. This was not the first time that allegations of rape or harassment had been talked about with regard to Shermer. PZ had put out, shared an accusation that then ended up being more fully investigated and shared in the BuzzFeed article the year before. And the basic response was, how dare you? How dare you talk about this? And it was part of an ongoing discussion at that point already of harassment that had started in 2012, which also very much the same reaction. How dare you talk about this? You know, in a movement where everything is supposed to be up for discussion, how dare you talk about harassment? And that didn't entirely stop with the well-researched BuzzFeed article, which had Shermer telling three different stories about the accusation, which documented several other women who had had issues with Shermer, although not rape. And at that point, it becomes pretty much impossible to think that this movement as a whole values the contributions of the women in it. If it thinks we should show up and be subject to that and not be warned, nobody is placing any real value on our work. And there are a number of things that we've done over time to try to work on that. But Secular Woman, which is an organization, I'm currently on the board, I wasn't at the time, that works to amplify the voices of women in the secular movement, was working on the issue, was trying to highlight voices of women. And I had put on a couple of conferences with Minnesota Atheists as part of a committee. And at the previous one, we had said, so what if we have almost entirely women speakers that we've invited so far. You know, what if we just sort of coincidentally had that happen? And we decided if we were going to do that, we should probably actually think about it and and not just have it coincidentally happen. Although there are a lot of really good women speakers out there. So we didn't do it that year, but the next year I was talking to Monette Richards, a secular woman. I was wanting to, having done conferences for a couple of years, I had some ideas about how they should go, wanted a little more control. So we decided to put on Secular Women Work and kickstart it so that we basically could have the funds and the freedom to experiment with format and speakers and all that sort of thing. And it worked. Enough people went to the Kickstarter, bought tickets, bought our t-shirts, donated tickets so other people could come, and we raised enough money, and then we said, oh, we're gonna have to put on a conference now. So we did that.
Does kickstarting versus having somebody like gift the cash, does that give you more freedom?
That kind of cash does tend to come with strings attached.
That's kind of what I thought. All right, well, please stay with us through the break because unlike Jesus, we don't make false promises. We will actually come back. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show, airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
Trappers use baited snares to choke animals to death. They're cheap and easy. Snares are banned in 20 states. Snares can't discriminate between wild animals and our pets. Your dog could die silently in a snare just yards away. Most Minnesotans oppose trapping, and our leaders cringe at the slightest mention of it, and yet it continues. Let's ban snaring and leave a legacy Minnesota can be proud of. Please contact the governor and your lawmakers. Do it now, today. Together we can ban the snare. Learn more at standagainstsnaring.com.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee, and I have a show on AM 950 Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 o'clock. It's a free-form hour of news, interviews, and your phone calls. We don't do 10-second sound bites and yelling and screaming about issues. That may make for great entertainment, but it really doesn't help to solve the real problems we face. We try to get the whole story and have an intelligent discussion. We also occasionally have a little fun. Listen in from 4 to 5 o'clock on AM 950 Radio.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio with Hersey Hertz and Stephanie Savan. We are chatting about the upcoming Secular Women Work Conference taking place in Minnesota the weekend of August 24th. Before we get back to the show, I want to take a moment to thank a listener who helped us out of a technical snafu last week. Huge thanks to Deb, who helped us get our podcast feed straightened out. You're awesome, you're patient, and I really do thank you. For Deb and everyone else listening live immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. If you miss an episode live, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. If you're listening live and want to join us, maybe to share your favorite piece of activism or what you've learned from Secular Women workshops or the first conference, you can reach us in studio at 952-946-6205. You can email us at radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or leave a message on the Facebook post for this episode over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. And speaking of live tweets, Stephanie, we got on our Twitter feed Larry Yelling Man from the, I'm looking up Plimpus podcast right now, Man Yells at News. He wants to know, was there any blowback from broflakes, as he words? I love that. That's a great term.
It is a wonderful term. We had so many trolls the first time around. We had people tweeting from pictures of the auditorium, which, you know, we got a 250-seat auditorium and had about 75 people. So obviously the conference was a complete failure because we didn't stack every seat. I know, guys, don't look at me like that. They're not trying to make sense. They're trying to make trouble. Reacting to little bits of live tweeting that happened, and just no charity in terms of what, no trying to understand what speakers were actually saying, any of that, of course.
Wait, and did they attend too?
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
No, they just sat at home all weekend and watched our Twitter feeds. Watched our hashtag.
So you're out doing actual activism training, talking to people, and they're doing slacktivism, complaining about your activism not doing enough.
Yes.
That makes perfect sense.
Of course.
It's evidence-based rational thinking.
This time around, I haven't seen much. I'm not entirely sure that I would. I'm sure there's some out there I'm not seeing. We did have one person when Steve Shives tweeted promoting the conference and our Kickstarter, because we're kickstarting it again, saying you can't put on a conference without e-begging. to which I responded, well, actually, yes, I did say, well, actually. Kickstarter is how we're selling tickets and making sure that there's enough demand for the conference before we invest a whole bunch of time and energy into it. And if you want to find out how to do that yourself, we'll have experts in this at the conference. You can come,
we'll teach you how.
Buy a ticket at Kickstarter and come and learn something.
Well, and that just makes me laugh because I think we were talking about this before the show. It's like Kickstarter is how so many things start.
Right.
Crowdfunding. It's like somebody saying this is e-bagging. I'm like, that's how the world works now.
I mean, we will accept donations.
Oh,
obviously. And we've set up one tier that is you can buy a ticket for somebody else, because a lot of the people doing this work are people who are really already completely overloaded and are doing volunteer work despite making very little money in their day jobs. So it's really nice to be able to have those tickets. But we're also, you know, you can advertise in our program booklet. You can get our t-shirts. You can get our logo t-shirt and logo sticker, logo keychain, and Surly Ramix from Surly Amy. We also have a couple of a little more fun and irreverent things you can get if you buy a t-shirt. You can choose to get our Body by Cortisol athletic t-shirt for all of us stress monkeys.
I need that t-shirt.
Exactly. Yes. Right? Who doesn't?
Yes, you do.
And You can, if you get the sticker instead of getting our logo sticker, you can get a couple of the small Outrage Brigade merit badges for those who understand what that is.
Oh, and we I understand will be talking about that.
We'll be doing an extra for Patreon on yes. Outrage Brigade. So anybody who doesn't know that can just become a patron.
Yeah. You know, for only $1 an episode, which is significantly cheaper than entrance into the, you know, Sick of the Women Work Conference.
It is.
Although, after, over a course of 100 weeks, it would probably equal out.
Don't do the math for him.
Well, you talked about the Kickstarter.
Yes.
How long is the Kickstarter going for?
The Kickstarter has been going for about 25 days at this point. We are coming up on the end of it this Thursday. We are not fully funded yet. If we do not fully fund, we will not have a conference, because as much as we would love to have a tiny boutique conference for really, really dedicated people, we do think there has to be some kind of minimum demand in order to be able to put that on. But we're getting closer. We've been getting a whole lot closer in the last few days. So
I have it up right now. We're at 8,900.
8,900.
So and what's two-thirds, the goal?
13,000.
That's not bad.
So it's over half.
Yep. Is there any possibility that you would, if you're close enough, that you would extend it out a week, say, to the...
That is not something you can do on Kickstarter.
Not even to, like, the next Friday, like, the next day.
No.
That's payday.
No, people need to get... if you want to come to this conference and you want to make sure it's going on, you know, we've got to get the tickets in before it, basically dinner time Thursday, because I need enough time to wind down from the end of the Kickstarter before I try to go to bed. Stress monkey that I am.
That's what the cortisol shirt is for.
Exactly.
I was going to say, you're getting one of those shirts one way or the other, right?
Yep.
Good.
So this is the second conference.
Yes.
And we talked before in the last segment that there were other, you know, there was another, you've done workshops at all the Skepticons. There was the other conference here in Minnesota. I guess what I'm interested in, what was the first conference like outside of the broflakes that are tweeting from home?
That is an excellent question, because most people have never been to an activist conference. It was very workshop heavy. We had workshops on things like handling public criticism, which is always a significant topic. We had a workshop where people could plan their activist campaign. We had, I believe we had an imposter syndrome workshop there. I'm pretty sure we'll do that again. We had workshops on accessibility, making your events accessible to everybody, on assertive communication, on treating your volunteers well so they'll keep volunteering with you.
Oh, yeah,
all
that was a good
sorts
one.
Of topics. And then a few things we pulled out into panels. We had a panel on fundraising, subtitled, or how to ask for money.
E-beg.
Or e-beg. No, we didn't. No. We had a panel on getting your message out in spite of a hostile press. What do you do when you're not... when they're not looking to get your message out for you. We had a panel on being an ally, on helping people who aren't you. So lots of topics.
All right, we'll return to our discussion right after this brief commercial break. I'm Maddie here with Hertzie and Stephanie. You're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 45, and tonight we'll have a 40% chance of snow with a low around 30. Tomorrow we'll see a high near 42 with freezing rain likely, and Tuesday will be partly sunny with a high near 45. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Hazel's Northeast. Their dishes made from scratch are rooted in over 50 years of family tradition that are healthy, hearty, and beautifully served. Come visit them at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. And for more information, see eatlocalminnesota.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm Maddie Love in studio with Hertzy Hertz and Stephanie Svan, discussing the upcoming Secular Women Work Conference. Before we continue with our conversation, which will be our final segment this weekend, I wanted to thank all of you. I wanted to thank those of you who allow Atheist Talk to stay on the air. And as a podcast, Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheist and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Cucumbers is open again. Please consider visiting our sponsors. And if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. And if you'd like to advertise on this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of our listeners. Listeners like you keep Atheist Talk on the radio and in podcast form. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page, or consider becoming a patron of the show by heading over to patreon.com/atheisttalk, where this week's patrons will be getting an extended version of the show that may have some outrage in it.
Extreme outrage.
And also swearing.
For all you thinking atheists out there. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax deductible organization. I can't laugh and read this at the same time.
I'm sorry. I'll cover my face.
Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael David. All right. With the One Ring now destroyed, we return to Hertzy and Stephanie.
Oh, Frodo.
I'm rewatching those movies during my breaks at work this week. I just fast forward through the parts with Sam and Frodo because I love the books. My favorite parts of the books, it's their friendship, and the movies, they just totally ruin that. And friendship is important. Friendship is magic. I learned that from My Little Pony. Thank you, Fluttershy. Anyway.
Oh, come on.
Getting back to the Secular Women Conference.
Pinkie Pie. Okay, I'm good.
No, Fluttershy.
We'll argue about one this later.
one of the things that came up during last week's meeting, one of the questions for you, Stephanie, was whether Secular Women Work was open to more than just women. Like,
absolutely. And this comes up every time we have a themed conference in the movement. For example, secular social justice, which is happening in D.C. in a few weeks. Can you go if you're not a person of color? Yes, absolutely you can. Pretty much all of the workshop presenters and speakers will be people of color. But if you're willing to learn from people of color, then you are welcome. And the same thing is true at Secular Women Work. You do not have to be a woman or genderqueer to show up. All of our presenters will be. You just have to be somebody who is comfortable learning from women. That's all.
And it's really sad if you're not.
Well, and who wants to get better at their activism? It is a lot of fun, but we do make you work. I mean, all of our workshops are actually workshops. You know, you'll be doing something, which is why we break it up with panels and talks.
Well, and Marissa McCool and I did Skepticon, like helping people learn how to podcast.
Right.
And that was one of the things you stressed when you said, hey, Maddie, Marissa, do you two want to do this? Was you didn't want it to be us just up there droning on and on and on.
Right.
It was, let's get some interaction, some feedback. And, you know, it was a little difficult with the content we were doing. But at the same time, as you said, I was like, yeah, that's really important. Like,
yeah, we want people to come away with practical, right, hands-on skills. I mean, we have no shortage of work to be done in the secular movement. And a lot of people don't step up to do it because they're not sure they can. And a lot of you can. You just can. Don't. That's why we do an imposter syndrome workshop.
I was going to say, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, you're coming to the imposter syndrome workshop.
Ditto.
But also, you know, there are some things that do require special knowledge, or simply, you know, it's good to talk to other people who have done it so you're not reinventing the wheel and making the same mistakes they did, because we've all made mistakes. And that's, you know, that's one of those things. We just, let's make it easier for you.
Yeah, I think
we're not going to pay you. We can at least make it easier for you.
I think the volunteer wrangling workshop was actually one of my favorite workshops that year.
Jen Bean from CFI Michigan. She's now the executive director there.
Oh.
Or director. I don't know what they do at the chapter level, but yeah.
She's awesome. But yeah, she was like, oh, and I have these spreadsheets and you can look at them. I can give you access so that you can, you know, try and figure out how you want to do this for your organization. But these are the things that you should have in place. And it's one of those I'm looking going, at some point I really need to do this. I need time to do it first. But the just that idea that somebody has these documents out there for us to look at and learn from is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's just so much knowledge. All we have to do is share it.
Oh yeah. That was
well, okay,
like,
first we have to pay for it. Then we can share it.
Well, and it's just like, that was just like one part of the workshop. But the whole week, was it 2 days last year, or is it just
3 days?
3 days, yeah.
All Friday evening, Saturday all day, and Sunday we knock off a little early because some people have to travel.
Oh yeah. And I think I at least went to 2 days. I can't remember if I was there Friday night, but I mean, every day was scribbling in my notebook, trying to catch as much of this knowledge as I could. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Excellent.
We had another Twitter question that was asking, how do you wrangle volunteers? And I'm going to actually answer this for you. You need to go to the Kickstarter, buy a ticket, and come to the conference, and then you'll learn how to do that. At least I'm assuming.
No?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe even just buy a ticket for somebody else and then ask them, like, if you can't make it here because it's too far away. Stephanie, earlier in the month, you actually asked Hertzie and I to record a couple promo videos. First at the Secular Women Work Conference, I got to talk to Greta Christina, who was like, oh, that was so awesome. I did almost throw up before I talked to her because I was that nervous.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't understand how anybody can be nervous before talking to Greta. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it.
I was nervous the first time I talked to you, too.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Hey.
Yep.
Wasn't it last year at Convergence? I was like, okay, so wait, you and I have kind of done stuff. Are we friends? That was awkward.
Well, Hertzie, have you talked to Jessica Chow, or are you going to talk to Jessica Chow?
Going to talk to Jessica Chow.
And I first heard Jessica talk at Skepticon last November. Oh my gosh, so awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the chat you have with her. But you gave us some questions, Stephanie, for Greta and for Jessica. So I'm going to make you answer them too.
Okay.
Because, like, hey, I filled 40 minutes with those four questions. You have less,
four.
Little, yeah, four and a half, five. So first question was, tell us how you got involved in movement activism.
I actually, Mike Hobrick, who was host on this show for a while back in like 2008, was getting a little tired of doing every single show. And he was like, you have an okay voice. You want to do that? And that was the entry. Seriously, Atheists Talk was my entry to movement activism.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike was actually, he's the one who got me on the show. So.
Yeah, he's responsible for a lot of us.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I volunteered myself.
Yes!
Sucker.
It was that D&D episode.
Really? Mine was a podcasting episode. He was like, oh, hey, you want to go back? I'm like, sure. This is fun. It's like podcasting, except I don't have to edit. Next question for you is, tell us why you do a specific cool piece of activism. So like for Greta, I asked her what she wanted to do. She wanted to talk about godless perverts, which is like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And they meet at the same place as TST San Francisco. Totally off topic. But like for you, what is your specific cool piece of activism that you want, that you do?
You know,
can't say atheist.
I wrote that question, but I am so not a specialist. I am one of those people who kind of dabbles in everything. One thing I'm doing right now that not everybody's doing, I'm working with Minnesota Atheists and the Center for Inquiry to currently challenge Minnesota marriage officiant laws, because at this point, only people who have certification from groups that are basically willing to identify themselves as religions, which covers humanists, because the Humanist Institute is a religious organization. There's another atheist group in Twin Cities that has been willing to identify themselves as a religious group, even signing the papers. But I am certified as a secular celebrant through CFI and certified through Minnesota Atheists. Neither of those groups is willing to identify as a religion,
nope.
Which means that currently I cannot file. Well, I could. I'd get turned down to officiate marriages legally here in the state. I can do services, but they won't be recognized.
That's ridiculous.
So I've been working with Minnesota Atheists for several years to try to get the legislature to change it. I'm now working with CFI to go the legal route.
I got to interrupt you guys for a moment because I just refreshed the Kickstarter. We're at 9,800.
90, oh.
Climbing.
Oh. I'm going to have to run a conference.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I can legally officiate marriages, but I am a reverend in the First Church of Atheism,
right,
out of Pennsylvania.
Right, and this is the same reason that I don't work with like the Church of Satan. I appreciate what they do, and there are some things that are much easier for them to do because they do specifically identify as a religion. But I also think it's important for groups that identify specifically as not a religion to have,
right,
within reason, access to some of these same perks.
Yeah, because like the Satanic Temple does good work where it's doing it, like, because
right,
it's got its own mission.
Right.
But I think they would be the first to jump on board and say, no, you shouldn't have to be a religion,
right,
to officiate marriages. That's ridiculous.
Right.
We're supposed to have separation of church and government. Like,
well, and in fact, I mean, that's kind of what they do, is they go in and they'll start applying for it. And then all of a sudden people will be like, no, 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 we don't want you. So we're just going to have to get rid of this. Damn it.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so we've gotten through two questions.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. tell us something you want people to learn about activism.
You can do it. Honestly, you do not have to. Monette, one of my co-organizers with this, by the way, the conference is also co-sponsored by Secular Woman and Black Nonbelievers. These are our organizing sponsors. One of the things Monette talks about is doing activism as a nobody you're not a nobody. But even if you feel like a nobody, you can do activism and you can start and then you can get better. And it's good.
That's kind of like, well, we've only got like 30 seconds left. So we'll talk about that later. Last question. Tell us why you're excited for the conference.
This is honestly one of my best opportunities to make this movement better, and I have been working on that just as a thing for nearly a decade, and this is a way I get to do it in a positive fashion. So, hey, go out to Kickstarter, look up Secular Women Work, bring us up over 13,000. It'll be good. It'll be awesome. Please.
And there'll be a link in the show notes as well. So, like, you don't even have to go looking for, like, that. It'll be right there.
And then I'm sure we'll put it on the Facebook page, too.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. All opinions and ideas expressed in today's show were the opinions of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions and ideas of Minnesota Atheists, even though these two are on the board. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and donors. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at mnatheist.org, our Patreon page. This has been Atheist Talk on AM950 KTNF.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We feature piano player, singer, and cool 90-year-old man, Cornbread Harris. We talk about him growing up in Chicago, how he moved to Minneapolis, joined the Augie Garcia Quintet, and opened up for Elvis Presley, among other things. We also listen to a lot of his music. Wall of Power Radio Hour this Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, Thank you, as always, for joining us. This week in the United States Congress, in the House, Representative Raul Labrador, Republican from Idaho, as well as Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, introduced companion bills that they call the First Amendment Defense Act. This is a reintroduction of a bill that was first introduced in last Congress, in the 114th Congress. FADA is a bill that its advocates claim protects the religious liberty and religious rights of folks who oppose same-sex marriage and those who have a, quote, you know, traditional view of marriage, but also those who view that sexual intercourse is reserved or should be reserved for those who are married. This bill prevents the government, prevents federal government, from what they're saying is discriminating, and I'm going to use discriminating in air quotes. It prohibits the federal government from discriminating against someone because of their belief that marriage should only be recognized as the union of one man or one woman, and that sexual relations are properly reserved for that marriage. Now, this is really flipping the definition of religious freedom on its head. It really flips the definition of discrimination on its head, and essentially undermines even the most basic protections that exist for LGBTQ people at the federal level, but also undermines a lot of protections that exist under the Civil Rights Act. In particular, you know, if a person had a religious objection to sex outside of a marriage between a man and a woman, it's not difficult to think that that person may not want to provide services for single unmarried parents. And so this would undercut protections for women included in Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, as well as the protections, the limited protections that have been extended to LGBT people under Title VII by federal courts and the EEOC. It would undercut even those basic protections. And again, to be clear, there is no explicit protection for LGBTQ people from being fired at work in any federal legislation. And so the FADA solves, quote unquote, a problem that doesn't actually exist. And by doing so, would allow employees, federal employees, to deny service to LGBTQ people, single parents, on the basis of the employee's religious belief. And now, you know, this is one of those things where they're really playing fast and loose with definitions and playing and really overextending religious liberty arguments here. They're saying that the federal government can't take action against someone who believes that marriage should be reserved to the union between a man and a woman. That would mean that an employee at the Social Security Administration could refuse to serve same-sex spouses of beneficiaries, and that person couldn't be disciplined. It means that a Veterans Affairs employee could reject medical claims by LGBTQ veterans. And it means that people who receive money from the Department of Housing and Urban Development could deny shelter, deny assistance to a single woman with a child. And the federal government's agencies wouldn't be able to do anything about that. They wouldn't be able to tell that person, sorry, you need to do your job and you need to serve all Americans equally. Instead, they shift the burden onto LGBTQ people, as well as women, as well as any single parent, and anyone who is singled out for religious condemnation or singled out for secondary status because of a minority religious view. And it's interesting that, you know, the people who advocate this are the people who, you know, crow on about religious freedom constantly. But what they're doing is elevating one religious belief above others. There's no one in here who's protecting, quote unquote, the religious liberty interest of a person who disapproves of divorce from serving or from denying service to somebody who is previously divorced. There's no bill being offered by Mike Lee or Raul Labrador to protect someone who thinks that somebody who's divorced and remarried is living in sin, and therefore refuses to provide service to to anyone who's been divorced or, you know, refuses to provide service to the president. There's no one protecting their interests, because the only thing that these folks who introduced this legislation care about is protecting animus toward LGBT people. They don't actually care about protecting religious liberty. This is a convenient excuse to single out one group that has historically been subject to discrimination. Religious liberty protects your right to not be discriminated against by the government. It most certainly doesn't give government employees the ability to discriminate against you on the basis of their own religion. When that employee of the Social Security Administration or the Veterans Affairs, Department of Veterans Affairs, or the Department of Housing and Urban Development are acting in their role as government employees, they are representing the government. And if they're not able to execute the laws of the government faithfully and provide equal protection under the law, then they're not doing their job. And regardless of their religious views, and this law, this proposed law, would allow that. Now, it also goes without saying that this law would sort of preemptively hamstring any potential federal civil rights legislation for LGBTQ people, but also, as I mentioned, would undercut Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. So this is the sort of law that, you know, we wouldn't have thought would go anywhere because it's so outrageous. But the president had said during the campaign and has reiterated that he would sign the First Amendment Defense Act. And this goes along with a lot of what we've seen from the evangelical community, where they'll excuse any conduct, they'll sign up for anything the president says because he's promised them these things. And he will, despite what he has claimed, he goes along with these things, and wholeheartedly endorses proposals put in front of him by folks on the religious right because they've so steadfastly defended him. So this is a bill that we're going to continue monitoring. This is something that has the potential to just be a disaster for LGBT folks and for the potential for civil rights legislation moving forward. And it's something we really need to keep an eye on. So unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this week. Our national convention is coming up. For more information about the convention, please visit atheists.org/OKC. Tickets are still on sale. We are rapidly filling up. The main hotel has been booked. It is sold out of rooms. However, we have an overflow hotel. So if you've not yet gotten your tickets and not yet gotten your room for our national convention, do it quick because time and space are running out. For more information about that, again, the website is atheists.org/OKC or atheists.org/convention2018. If you'd like to become a member or make a donation to American Atheists, please visit atheists.org/support. Thank you, as always, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.